And welcome to minute 34 of season 8 of Movie Hoffman, the daily podcast where we fubar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Hal Bryan of the October Sky Minute. Welcome back to the show, Hal.
No, thanks for having me back, Rob. Having a great time going through this week.
Yeah, me too. Me too. A lot of fun bureaucratic stuff, but good stuff. All right. So minute 34 begins with Colonel Dye continuing his assessment and ends with Marshall reading parts of a letter. So we ended things yesterday with Dye getting a little curt with Bryce about that there's no way that he has the intelligence of knowing where Private Jimmy Ryan will be. And he ended yesterday by saying, well, even if he made it through the jump, so today he continues with saying he could be anywhere. In fact, he's probably KIA. And frankly, sir, we could send some sort of rescue mission, flat-hatting through swarms of German reinforcements all along our axis of advance. They're going to be KIA too. So, I mean, we talked yesterday about how much we both love Dale Dye, but his character is not meant to be very sympathetic here with the way that he's talking. He's very curt with what he's saying, and isn't necessarily being the nicest to explaining things the way that he's explaining stuff. But on the other hand, if he's meant to be Marshall's right-hand man or whatever it is, he's supposed to tell him what he really thinks. So, from that perspective, right, you can't really complain with what he's doing here and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's the voice of the bigger picture at this point.
That is correct. So he mentions KIA. So I'm assuming you know what that stands for.
Yes, killed in action.
That's right. It's a casualty classification generally used by the military to describe the death of their own personnel at the hands of the enemy or hostile forces at the moment of attack. And KIAs also include people that were accidentally killed by friendly fire, but not people who were killed by vehicle crashes or other non-hostile events that happen sometimes in the field, like if someone is murdered or things like that, those are not counted as that. It can be referred to both people that are on the front line troops and also naval, air, and support troops. You have another term that's used, DOW. You familiar with that one?
No, that one I don't know.
Okay, it's died of wounds. So it means that it was somebody who was able to reach the medical treatment facility, but weren't able to make it through. The official category is died of wounds received in action. And then you have also a PKIA. Are you familiar with that?
No, I haven't come across that one either. PKIA.
Presumed killed in action.
Oh. Well, that makes sense.
So it's people that are personnel that are lost in battle. They're usually initially listed as missing in action, but after not finding them, they have presumed that they have not survived. This is typical of naval battles or engagements on other hostile environments where recovering bodies is very difficult. A very large number of soldiers who were killed in action went unidentified during World War One. John Kipling, who was the son of Rudyard Kipling, and therefore so they changed the designation so that it's these are people that are presumed killed in action.
Sure.
Right. Now NATO defines KIA slightly different. It's someone who was a battle casualty as a combatant who is killed outright or who dies as a result of wounds and other injuries before reaching a medical treatment facility. And then he mentions, Dai mentions the term flatheading. Now, you as an aviator might have more of an idea of what that is. Do you know what flatheading is?
Actually, I've heard the term, but I've never really dug into it. And so that one's actually that's an unknown to me.
Wait a second. I found an unknown area, something dealing
Okay.
with aviation that Hal Bryan doesn't know. Oh boy. I
I
mean,
believe you
in my
do. Let's
defense,
mark it on the calendar.
in my defense, I didn't know what it was before I looked it up, but that's a separate issue. I also didn't know that it was an aviation term until I looked it up. Right. So the comment that he makes is flatheading. We'll send some sort of mission flatheading throughout swarms of German reinforcements. So I just thought it meant, okay, somehow, going into the field where there's a lot of German troops. But the idea of flatheading is any type of maneuvers that are conducted at low altitude or at a high rate of speed for thrill purposes.
Oh, interesting.
So
So it'd be
pilots
a
who
low pass, a
violate,
buzz job.
that's right.
Yeah. Well, this is
Often
interesting.
pilots who violate altitude regulations by flying low have a disdain for the rules.
Sure.
So I just thought it's really funny that he mentions that here because they're not going by plane.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I'd never seen that specifically associated with aviation, but that doesn't mean anything. That's fascinating.
It's also known as low and fast, because you have different hazards like wires, towers, birds, other types of distractions.
Sure.
Oh wow, there's actually information here about Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know what the lowest altitude that is legally permitted over Lake Winnebago is?
Well, it depends on if there is a it depends on where you are, because parts of Lake Winnebago you could be in the Class Delta airspace for the Oshkosh Airport itself. For the rest of the lake, and setting aside a seaplane, which has some different restrictions, for takeoff and landing purposes. But for the rest of the lake, it would be just there's a 500-foot bubble around any person, vehicle, so including a boat or a structure. Outside of that, you could be dragging your wheels in the water, and it would be just fine.
Right. So yes, the answer according to this is 500 feet. So it says 500 feet
So yep.
AGL. What does AGL
So
mean?
five. Right. So in that instance, AGL means above ground level, but that is technically incorrect, because in outside of the
Well,
Oshkosh Airport
I defer
airspace.
to Hal Bryan for the information anyway, so that's fine.
So there's a time when we define airspace legality based on altitude above the ground, but depending on the level of the definition of the airspace and what type of airspace it is, and certainly the lake itself is not considered a populated area for obvious reasons. So in that case, if you're truly just out over the lake, you could, in theory, be right down, a foot off the water, as long as you weren't within 500 feet of a boat, or a swimmer, or something like that. As long as you can imagine a bubble around. If you go over the top of a boat, you got to be 500 feet above the water. If you're a foot off the water, that boat had better be 500 feet away from you in some direction or other.
Okay, that's fair.
But there you go.
Okay, great. And so Marshall looks around. He's taking in all the information that he's being given, from his various subordinates. Again, Colonel Dye is not. He's being very straightforward with what he's saying. And Marshall just like looks at him, puts his hand out a little bit, flips the paper, flips the folder back and forth, and then motions for everybody to follow him. And he walks back towards his desk and opens a drawer, and pulls out what looks like a Bible or some sort of big heavy book, and flips through it and takes out a letter that doesn't even look like it was folded, which is a little strange. And then he says, "I have a letter here, written a long time ago to a Mrs. Bixby in Boston. So bear with me. Dear Madam, I have been shown in the files of the War Department a statement of the Adjutant General of Massachusetts that you are the mother of." And then he gets cut off. So we'll talk more tomorrow about the letter itself and how it all fits in and who some of these people are and stuff like this. Now,
Sure.
I'm just going to leave you with a question and we'll get to the answer tomorrow. Is this a real letter or not? What do you think?
And that's my big question too. I think it's a copy. It's hard to imagine it being real, but then again, someone of his rank would have accumulated some interesting stuff in his career, and so it's not impossible. But as you said, we'll debate that. I don't think we're going to be debating it. I think we'll just
No, it's a
hash
much
it
of it.
out. We'll hash it out tomorrow
Okay,
and
but
see what we think
do
on
you
both
think that this
sides.
do you think this letter was really written?
Oh, sorry, in real life. I thought you meant sort of in the universe of the film, was this piece of paper actually the physical original copy? Was it really written? Given the other elements of the film, so I do not know. I've never looked it up. But given the other elements of the film, I would suspect it would have a basis in reality, just because there's so much effort in this film across the board to make everything except that central story, make everything authentic. Have you looked into
Yes, I have. But again, we'll get
it?
into it tomorrow. We'll talk more
Okay.
tomorrow about the letter itself. So the Mrs. Bixby is her name is Lydia Parker Bixby. She was born in 1801 and passed away in 1878, which means that she died about 12 or 13, maybe even 14 years after this letter was sent. Do you know any other people with the surname of Bixby? Anything jump out at you?
The only one that really jumps out is Bill Bixby, the
Yes,
actor,
the American
Courtship
Hulk.
of Eddie's Father, and The Incredible Hulk.
Incredible Hulk,
That
right.
feels though it feels sort of cheap, like this is a woman who had this perhaps minor but still role in history, and I'm over here, quoting 70s television or 60s television with The Courtship of Eddie's Father. I'm sure there are other more prominent historic Bixbys out there, but I'm going to stick with Bill.
Right, so a teacher of Mark Twain was also Bixby, Horace Ezra Bixby. He was the steamboat pilot and captain who Mark Twain would work for.
Oh, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Again, I have a long list of a whole bunch of Bixbys here, but none of them that really jump out as something that There are two Bixbys that are currently in their state House of Representatives. You have one in Montana, a woman named Norma Bixby, who's been in the Montana House of Representatives for 24 years so far. As of recording, I don't know what happened in the elections last
Yes, that's right.
I don't know if she was up for election, or I don't know how that works in the state House of Representatives or not. In the New Hampshire House of Representatives, same. I'm going to give the same explanation that as of recording, prior to the 2024 elections, you have Peter Bixby, who has been in the New Hampshire House of Representatives since 2012. To me, Bixby just doesn't sound like a very popular or familiar last name. I don't know why I feel
Right.
that way.
I don't think I've ever personally known a Bixby that I'd have to think long and hard, but I don't believe that I have. So that's
Right. I
certainly,
mean, again, for me,
one
up
indicator.
until this movie, the only Bixby I knew of was was Bill Bixby, as you mentioned also.
Right.
There are a lot of towns that are known as Bixby. There's a Bixby in Minnesota, Missouri, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Texas, California, Iowa, and Nevada. Oh, actually, that's a fictional town in Tremors.
Ah,
Okay.
okay. Another movie reference.
There you go. Well, come on, we always have movie references here. That's what
Well,
we do.
wait, what's the name of the show again? Sorry.
Yeah, movies by minute, maybe something like that. But there is a famous Bixby family in California. The Bixby family is an American family that was heavily involved in the development of California ranches and real estate in the 19th and 20th centuries. Through various companies, they
Okay.
controlled at one time or another large swaths of California real estate. Much of it derived from Mexican land grants. Their holdings include Rancho Los Cerritos, Rancho Los Alamitos, Rancho San Justo, Rancho Palos Verdes, totaling well over 100,000 acres. The towns of Long Beach, Bellflower, Paramount, Signal Hill, Lakewood, and Los Alamitos emerged from the former Bixby-held lands.
Oh,
There
wow.
are neighborhoods known as Bixby Hill, Bixby Knolls, and Bixby Village, and there's also a Bixby Park. It was a very prominent family in the 19th century, continuing into the 20th century. I mean, the name goes there is there's a list here of someone named Joseph Bixby, who immigrated to California, no, he immigrated to Boston, from England. So again, I don't know what the name Bixby means. I wasn't able to figure out what, if there's some sort of, most surnames have some sort of, connection, I guess, to the person's, profession or things like that.
Sure.
So,
Yeah, with a Smith or something. Interesting you mentioned Long Beach, by the way, as a bit of trivia. That's the where I was married in Long Beach, California.
was it in Bixby Park?
I no, it was not. It was aboard the RMS Queen Mary, but perhaps we went by Bixby Park and didn't even realize it.
Right. Now, unfortunately, if you do a search for Bixby, you get all these things from it's the digital voice assistant on Samsung phones.
Oh, right.
I'm not able to get information as to where the name Bixby originally came from.
Sure. Clouds the results a little bit.
Yes, in the cloud it causes problems, and you were correct. Right. No, because when I look up the definition of Bixby, all I get are things related to Bixby the program.
Right.
So if anyone out there knows the meaning of the word Bixby, feel free to let us know. Very curious to know what it is. Because it sounds strange. That's the thing.
Sure.
So I don't know. I mean, I even went to a website that has baby names, and Bixby is listed on there, right? And it's a gender neutral English,
Oh, really?
and it says meaning place name, so that
Doesn't help at all.
doesn't really help.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, it's saying maybe it's derived from Bigsby, but no, doesn't really. And it's surprisingly not in the top 100 popular baby names. I'm surprised. Wouldn't you think that that would be there?
I had no idea it was ever even in use as a first name until just now. So
Neither did
I
I.
have to say no. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, they also mentioned here the fact that in this letter they have it from the Adjutant General. Now, do you know what an adjutant general is?
You know, I'm aware of the term, and I know there's I believe there's a sort of a legal responsibility to it, but it's not one thing, it's not something I could actually just define.
Okay, so the adjutant general is actually the senior military officer of each state. He's basically the de facto commander of the state's military forces, including the National Guard, if the state has a naval militia, and any state defense forces. They're basically
Okay.
known as the TAG, the adjutant general, adjutant general, and it's subordinate to the chief executive, which is basically the governor, but they don't have any authority over police forces, only military forces. Okay, now you have 49 states, plus Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Virgin Islands, that the governor is the one who appoints the adjutant. The only state that doesn't, you have any guess, or it's just it'll be a completely wild guess.
Right, it would just be a totally wild guess. That's interesting that there is one state that doesn't. If I were to guess, I would throw Texas out there, just as they still define themselves as a republic and tend to do a few other things differently. But Arizona kind of follows its own rules, as a lot of other states do as well.
Okay, well, so it's neither of those. It's Vermont.
Vermont.
Vermont is the only state that the adjutant general is appointed by a vote of the Vermont General Assembly. And the District of Columbia, which obviously is not a state yet, even though there's talk of it, right?
Right.
The commanding general is appointed by the president. So South Carolina
Okay, interesting.
used to choose it in the statewide general elections, but they had a referendum in 2016 and they changed it. Now the governor is the one who makes the appointment of the adjutant general for the whole thing.
Very interesting.
Yeah, you see, you learn interesting things on this podcast,
You
things that
do.
you never thought about.
Absolutely.
Here we have General Marshall just throw that out, that the adjutant general made a statement, and there we go. So who was the adjutant general of Massachusetts at the time that this letter was supposedly sent? It's a man named William Schuyler, who was the adjutant general between 1860 and 1866. And he ended up he was born in 1814 and passed away in 1872 at the age of 57. And he's this famous person who he's the one who brought attention to Leah Bixby.
Isn't that it?
And
Interesting stuff.
he served one term in the Massachusetts State Senate, and he also wrote a two-volume History of Massachusetts in the Civil War. All right, so that's everything I have to say about this minute. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, I don't think I've got anything to add. I think we've done a good deep dive.
Okay, great. So every Thursday we have a little game as our segment, and it's a game called Say What Thursday. All right, so the idea here is here we have in this movie we have a lot of actors, and they've been in many movies. So the idea is I'm gonna then give you a quote from a movie, and you will have to tell me who is the actor who says that. I will tell you the quote and the year that the movie came out.
Oh
Obviously,
boy.
because there are so many people to choose from in this movie, so I'm only going to it, it there's, you only have a choice of three. Okay, it's either going to be a quote from Matt Damon.
Okay.
Okay, it'll be a quote from Tom Hanks, or it'll be a quote from Ted Danson. Okay,
Okay.
so those are your three
And I'm
choices.
going to tell you the actor in the movie, or are we just looking for the title of the movie?
Whatever information you can give me would be great.
Okay, fair
Yeah.
enough. All I have a real love-hate relationship with these games, Rob.
I know you do. I know you do. And
I get nervous.
There's no reason to get nervous.
I usually do okay. That's right.
Exactly. I think you're going to do well. I think you're going to do well. All right. So the first one, remember, it's either Ted Danson, Tom Hanks, or Matt Damon, okay? A movie from 1995, okay? We just put Sir Isaac Newton in the driver's seat.
We just put Isaac Newton in the driver's seat. So that's going to be Apollo 13.
Of course. So therefore, which actor?
That would be Tom Hanks.
Correct.
As Jim Lovell.
That's correct. You see, it's not as difficult as you may think.
Not as difficult.
All right.
I mean, I know you're lulling me with the easy ones up front, but we'll see.
All right. From a movie from 2013. All right. I brought you all the way out here for monetary gain. I had a wager with the boys that I couldn't get you on a ride. I just won $20.
Hmm. 2013. That's a tougher one. So we're going somewhere, trying to get somebody on a ride. Any other?
Again, it's either. I can give you as many hints as you want.
I know it's
one. It's either. Right. Remember, it's Ted Danson, Matt Damon, or Tom Hanks. It's one of the three. Okay, I'm willing to give you as many hints as you want. You know.
Okay. Where was the here they were talking about? I mean, I immediately think of someplace like Coney Island. We're talking about going on rides.
Okay, unfortunately, I can't tell you that because that'll completely give it away. That's a hint that's too good to be true. It's a great question. It's definitely a great question.
You know, I'm trying to think. That seems too early for some reason. But was that Hanks in Saving Mr. Banks?
Yes, it was.
So talking about going to Disneyland.
That's right. If I would have said Disneyland, you would have known right away.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I would have known immediately. That's right. That's very fair. It's really funny because I, as much as I love that movie and I, you know, have identified it earlier this week as a favorite, for some reason, I thought it was far more recent than that.
Apparently not.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
It's just, you know, as we say, people were, old people used to be a lot younger and, you know, and time passes in at weird speeds.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. Next one. A movie from 2006. Yeah. Shoot a Cop, Einstein. Watch What Happens.
2006.
Now it could be Ted Danson, Einstein. Tom Hanks, or Matt Damon.
Oh. Is there another clue out there somewhere?
There are plenty of clues out here. There are plenty of clues.
Well,
okay. It was directed by Martin Scorsese.
Okay, I'm going to go with it's one that I think I've only seen once. I don't remember that well, but I'm going to have to say, thinking about cops and Matt Damon, that it was Matt Damon in The Departed.
And it was very good.
Oh. Whew. Okay then.
You see, you've already gone beyond 50%. You're at 60%. So you've got a passing grade.
Well, I'm just gonna coast from here then.
You always coast. That's why it's great, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
All right. So, ready for the next one?
Oh no, but let's do it anyway.
All right. So this one, I'm actually going to beep or not bleep. I'm going to not say one of the words in it because it identifies another character that will for sure give it away, but we'll still try it.
Okay.
If I'd known that this was the last time I was going to talk to him, I would have thought of something better to say. From 1994.
That one is not immediately ringing a bell. If I know this is the last time I was going to talk to him. Boy, I'm drawing a blank on this one completely.
Okay. So if I had known it was the last time I was going to talk to Bubba, I would have thought of something better to say.
Okay. That was a smart bleep then. And you'd think, since I've only seen it once, but actually it was reasonably recently, I would have gotten Tom Hanks and Forrest Gump.
There you go. All right. And the final one.
Well chosen.
And the final one, which is a very long quote. Okay. From 2002. All right. I can tell you the license plate of all six cars outside. I can tell you that our waitress is left-handed and the guy sitting up on the counter weighs 215 pounds and knows how to handle himself. I know the best place to look for a gun is the cab of or the gray truck of is in the cab of the gray truck outside. And at this altitude, I can run flat out for half a mile before my hands start shaking. Now, why would I know that? How could I know that and not know who I am? 2002. Could be Ted Danson.
2002.
Could be Tom Hanks.
Matt Damon or
Tom And it could Hanks. Be Matt Damon.
And just because we haven't touched on him at all, I'm kind of leaning toward Ted Danson. But he just doesn't have that huge film library. Give me the quote one more time. Okay.
I can tell the license plate numbers of all six cars outside. I can tell you that our waitress is left-handed and the guy sitting up on the counter weighs 215 pounds and knows how to handle himself. I know the best place to look for a gun is in the cab of the gray truck outside, and at this altitude, I can run flat out for half a mile before my hands start shaking. Now, why would I know that? How can I know that and still not know who I am?
Oh, okay. Man, I don't know. There was a longer fuse on this one. That is Matt Damon as Jason Bourne. I'm presuming the Bourne identity, but one of the Bourne films.
You are correct. All right, see, You did so much better than you thought there.
I always do a little better than I think, yes, indeed.
You have to have more confidence in yourself.
That's right. Let me tell you about my childhood, Rob. Mm, put my feet up.
Yeah, I don't need to know about that.
Okay, fair enough.
I grew up as a middle class or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. All right, so Hal, why don't you once again tell us where people can find Hal Bryan?
All right. On the Movies by Minute part of the world, I've been lucky enough to do some guest spots on several shows and have participated in a lot of the group projects, North by Northwest and Bowfinger and Best Years of Our Lives. But in terms of full shows, I've got the Rocketeer Minute under my belt and the October Sky Minute. You can find both of those at their own sites, rocketeerminute.com, octoberskyminute.com. Otherwise, they're on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and your Amazon Echo devices, Audible, all those sorts of things. And you can poke around on IMDb as well. In the more professional side of my life at the Experimental Aircraft Association, I'm a frequent but not always co-host of The Green Dot, which is EAA's aviation-related podcast. Otherwise, you find my writings and work all over EAA and in print magazines like Sport Aviation and on EAA.org and our blogs and things like that. And social media, anybody that wants to reach out and say hello, I'd love to hear from anybody at on Facebook or X, Instagram, LinkedIn. You find me there at Hal Bryan. Easy to do.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. And you can send me an email to movieroundminute@movierob.net. So, Hal, you feel like coming back tomorrow to finish off the week and find out?
Let's finish
find
it
out
off.
About more about this letter?
Yes. Yeah, I really want to get to the bottom of this letter. All right. That's interesting stuff.
Excellent. So, until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this. My solitude, you